Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Strauss Group fourth quarter and full year 2013 results conference call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded, Wednesday, March 26, 2014. I would like to remind everyone that the conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions and may change as time passes. Strauss does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing industry and market trends, reduced demand for our products, the timely development of our new products and their adoption by the market, increased competition in the industry and price reductions, as well as due to risks identified in the documents filed by the company with the ISA. With us online today are Mr. Gadi Lessen, President and CEO of Strauss Group, Mr. Shachar Florence, CFO, and Ms. Talia Sessler, Director of Investor Relations. Mr. Lessen, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon and good morning to everyone, and thank you for joining us for this fiscal year 2013 and fourth quarter call for Strauss Group results. With me today are Shachar Florence, our CFO, and Talia Sessler, our Director of Investor Relations. Let's please move to slide number three, 2013 highlights. Strauss Group concludes a very good year across all segments in the group. The strong operating performance is largely due to the group's international operations. However, all businesses, including Israel, positively contributed to the robust growth in EBIT. Strauss OS, our partnership in Brazil, posted 12% sales growth in local currency with EBIT margins of 10.1% versus 4.9% in 2012. Strauss OS RNG value market share in 2013 reached 21.5% versus 20.6% in 2012. Strauss Israel posted solid top-line growth of 3.4% during the year, driven by growth of at both health and wellness and fun and indulgence divisions. Strauss Israel annual growth margins were above 40%, while EBIT margins expanded to 10.5% versus 10.2% last year. We had record high market share at Sabra, reaching around 64% in hummus, and about 28% in the total refrigerated flavored spreads category. Sabra posted annual top-line growth of over 20% in local currency and annual EBIT margins of 13%. According to IRR, during 2013, Sabra led approximately 76% of the growth of the hummus category and 68% of the growth of the refrigerated flavored spreads category in the U.S. Finally, Strauss Water posted double-digit top-line growth while reducing EBIT losses. Note that starting on January 1st, 2014, the group has regained control 72% over Virgin Strauss Water UK. Our overall EBIT for 2013 was up 23% in spite of an increase in advertising and promotion across the group segments. We also accelerated the level of new product launches and innovation throughout the year. We continue to invest in streamlining our supply chain, including the following. Shoham, our advanced logistics and distribution center in Israel, is expected to be completed in the second half of 2014. While the closure of our existing facilities expected by the end of next year, 2015. In health and wellness, we completed the consolidation of two dairy plants in Q3 2013. And finally, we completed the termination of instant powder production and fat. This process is expected to continue to contribute to the improvement of the company's supply chain in instant coffee in Israel. In conjunction with this closure, we wrote down the remaining fixed assets related to this plant in Q4 2013. Earlier in 2014, we announced the acquisition of the Amigo coffee brand for $20 million, sold primarily in Romania with full-year sales of around $12.5 million. We expected that this acquisition will further strengthen our competitive position in Romania, and are quite confident that we can extract some cost synergies from this transaction. As you may know, on July 2013, we announced that a review was being conducted in conjunction with TPG Capital regarding TPG's exit alternatives from Strauss Coffee. As of today, no agreements have yet been signed. Please, moving to slide number four, main challenges. In spite of this being a great year for Strauss Group, we have faced new challenges. First, the new Israeli shekel appreciation versus most of our other currencies continued to cause negative translation differences. As a result, we had negative top-line growth of 0.5% in 2013. Organic annual growth, excluding FX, totaled 4.8%. Recently, prices of green coffee increased sharply. While we are well covered in the near term, we continue to watch this trend as it evolves. The conflict between Russia and Ukraine resulted in a devaluation of the local currencies versus the US dollar and the new Israeli shekel, which is expected to affect our operation in those countries. Additionally, the intense competitive dynamics in the CIS and in the CEE clusters continue. Finally, there have been a few regulatory changes regarding food and beverage companies in Israel. The group is reviewing the new provisions and will prepare for its implementation in the course of 2014. As I indicated previously during this call, in 2013, the group focused on smart growth and cost management while increasing investment in streamlining supply chain, in A&P and innovation. This approach has consolidated the group's strength and has improved our ability to continue to successfully contend with the challenges that lie ahead in 2014. And with that, I would like to hand over the call to Shachar Florence, our CFO, to discuss our financial results in more detail. Shachar, please.
Gadi, thank you very much, and thank you all for joining us on this call. Good morning, good afternoon for all of you. As Gadi said, we conclude today 2013, which was a record high, a year for Strauss Group, with the best performance the group ever had presented in the gross margin, operating profit, and net profit, and not only in absolute numbers, but also in terms of profitability, record high operational cash flow, reducing our gearing ratio measured by the EBITDA to net debt ratio, and all in all, a very, very good year for Strauss Group. Few words of housekeeping. This is the first year that the new IFRS regulation about non-consolidation of 50% JVs, unfortunately for us, made the accounting reports tools that I doubt if we can use in order to measure the performance of the group. Therefore, as we have done in the past, we analyze our business according to the non-GAAP managerial reports, and most of what I will analyze or say in the next half an hour will be based on the non-GAAP managerial reports. It just that those reports include, of course, the performance or the 50% out of the performance of our main JVs, including Brazil Coffee, Tres Corações, Dips and Spreads in the U.S., Saba, our Salty Snacks activities in Israel under the JV with Frito-Lay, and our water activity in China together with Haier. Sorry. I'm looking on slide number seven. As Gadi said, a small reduction in the top line, mainly due to the reduction of the green coffee value trading in Brazil. The volume stayed the same or even were a bit higher. Just the coffee prices as a commodity is reducing, and therefore the turnover is a little bit lower. And not less important, the strength of the shekel and the devaluation of the real against the shekel. But even if you exclude just the green coffee commodity trading, the turnover was higher than last year, and the organic growth was around the 5%. Going down on the PLN, you can see the nice improvement in the gross margin and the gross profit, 8.5% growth in gross profit, moving up from 35% profitability to 38.2%, more than 3% growth. That is reflected throughout the P&L to an impressive improvement in the operating profit, 23% growth. Though, as you can see in the detailed report that you've got, a massive investment in A&P, both measured as percentage out of sale and also being measured as an absolute number, almost 75 million shekels more in those expenses. And we're doing that in order to boost our performance in future years. Not less important, the EBIT margins went up from 7.6% to 9.4%. Again, a very nice improvement that is reflected also in the net profit and the profit per share, moving up almost 40% improvement in the net profit, from around 3% net profit to 4%, followed by a nice operating cash flow, 716 million shekel operating profit versus 670, which enabled us to improve, as I said, the debt to EBITDA ratios. In the next slide, and I'm moving to slide number nine. This is the analysis of what I said before. If we are looking on the graph excluding FX at slide number nine, you can see that all the companies in the group had improved their sales line, including the coffee company. And the only activity that was reduced was the green coffee trading, mainly due to the reduction in green coffee prices. Another way to look at it is reflected in slide number 10. When we are looking on the different divisions, here again, including the FX, you can see that the only reason for the declining in the sales is the FX. And in local currencies, all the businesses had improved this line, starting from the total coffee activity, going through the dips and spreads, the Strauss Israel activities, and Water and Max Brenner, which are including under the so-called other segment. Talking about growth, you can see the reasons. This is just one of the examples. This is Sabra's example in slide number 11. You can see the huge improvement in the market share. We are taking almost 80% of the growth of the category, But tell you the truth, we have a long way to grow in the U.S. in the fresh dips and spread category. The household penetration is still around the mid-20s. That means that we have another three-quarter of the population to convince to buy. And even the people that are buying, the frequency is relatively low and the quantities are low. And we expect this activity to keep growing in the same ratios around the 20-25% year over year in local currency. With those performance and the improvement in our efficiency, you can see in slide number 12 the nice improvement in the gross margins, moving up from 35 to 38.2% gross margins, and an improvement of 8.5% in the profit themselves. This is a longer term point of view. You can see that this is by far a record high year for Strauss Group. Looking on the sources of this improvement, you can see that it comes from all across the portfolio. With the improvement in the coffee activity, and I'll analyze it separately in a moment between the different geographies, going through Strauss Israel, that deliberately improved the mix of products that we are selling. We gave up some of the revenue intentionally, such as low profitability segments such as raw milk. And on the other hand, we improved our market shares and sales in the more profitable categories such as yogurt, desserts, and confectionery. This was done according to our strategy of improving our margins. And the reflection you can see here, and you will be able to see in a few moments, when we'll talk on Q4, because this process is now in a mature stage, and when we compare Q4 versus Q4, you can see the differences for a year-long process, and we kept our margins almost at the same level in international distance spread. You can look later on in the reports themselves. You can see that Sabra had improved in the U.S. and Canada had improved the margins. We are investing now, as you probably know, in the same category, dips and spreads in Mexico and Australia. You can see that it is getting to a stage that this is a material activity for us, with almost $30 million category in Australia and Mexico on a 100% basis. Just remember that we are consolidating here only 50%. All these activities results you can see in slide number 14, which you can see a record high EBITDA and EBITDA margin, 16% improvement in the EBITDA, moving up from 10.4% to 12.2% EBITDA margins, and the same phenomena in the EBIT margin in the next slide, slide number 15. 23% improvement in EBIT from 625 to almost 770 million shekel EBIT. And again, in a longer term perspective, you can see the trend over the year. Looking for the sources of this growth, not a secret that the coffee activities had contribute a lot to those performance, but as you can see, this graph is all green. That means that all of our activities has improved their profit. Most of them improved also their profitability. and this phenomena, at least for us, is encouraging, because it has to do with all the activities. And as you can see in the next slide, slide number 17, you can see the margins by percentages. Sorry. The achievement is even greater when you consider the fact that we increased our intentionally increased our investment in A&P, moving up from 457 million shekels to 526, almost 75% increase in the marketing expenses. And we did it in order to enable us to keep improving the gross margin due to the fact that the stronger your brands are, the higher the margins you can get. So a few more words about the about the sources, and let's try to analyze the coffee segment in slide number 19. You can see it was a record high year for the coffee company with 400 million shekels EBIT profit, more than 10% EBIT profitability, up from 7.5. In the next slide, you can see the main contributor to this achievement, which is our JV with the Lima family in Brazil in the company Três Corações. You can see the change that have been achieved in the last year, moving up from 21% gross margins to almost 30% margin, almost doubling the gross profit, and more than doubling the EBIT profit, moving up from about 5% to 10% EBIT margin. It took us a We are very conservative in our approach. It took us a while to say that we feel comfortable about the sustainability of these margins. We can say now after five quarters in a row with improved profitability. You can see in the right column the previous Q4, and you can see that it started then with 9.2% EBIT margins for the Brazilian activity in Q4 2012. We feel comfortable enough to say it's here to stay since we took the number one position in the Brazilian market. We think that also the competition got more rational in its competition after they understood the real situation when they went public last year, and I assume you are aware of the changes that they have made in their financial at that time. I think they understood the real situation, which made the whole whole market more rational, and I think that the improvement is here to stay. This was the main contributor. The other contribution is, of course, the green coffee prices. Yes, it hurts us a little bit in the turnover, but on the other hand, enable us to improve the margins. You can see in the next two slides, 21 and 22, the Robusta and the Arabica international market. Please be aware that this is not the market in Brazil. The Brazilian coffee, green coffee trade is done separately, smoother, less the less volatile, and this is the reason what I will say now is doesn't influence at the same order of magnitude the Brazilian market. In the rest of the market, yes, the coffee, green coffee prices has an influence on our profits, and looking on the next year, we are covered quite long. We cannot say right now where the market is going. There was a relatively sharp increase in the coffee prices, in the green coffee prices in the first quarter. Right now we are covered, and we cannot estimate what will be the influence for the next year according to different directions that this market can take. Not less important, we report in shekels. Shekel was, say the least, one of the most, the strongest currencies in the world. In the next slide, you can see the differences versus the different currencies that we do business in. And you can see the huge influence of the devaluation of the ruble. We do not hedge the translation effect. That mean that the same profit in Riyal will be translated to a different numbers in shekels according to the exchange rate. But those things come and goes, but for sure had an influence on our reports. Though this is the influence, still we had improved, as you said, as you saw in the first slide, the EBIT by 23% and the net by almost 40%, and this was done despite of this devaluations of the currencies. not less important, we were able to decrease a little bit the taxation rate. Yes, we paid a little bit more taxes because we were much more profitable, but on the other hand, we improved the tax ratio. It is done just by the fact that our losing activities in countries like China and Mexico, which we still lose money, though we generate the revenue, we cannot offset those losses versus the profitable activities, and we do not create tax assets for those losses. So once those losses were reduced, the average tax rate was reduced. Once we will be profitable, we will be able to offset those expenses. Going down to the net profit in slide number 25, again, you can see the record high 40% improvement in the net profit, going up from 3% to 4% profit, also in the profit per share, almost the same improvement. And on the balance sheet side, we reduced our gearing ratio, net debt to EBITDA, from 1.9 to 1.5. And as we said in the past, we will be in this range between 1.5 to 2. We are not going to exceed the 2, and probably, I'm not talking about this quarter or another, we probably will stay at the 1.5% ratio. So this is for the yearly numbers. If we're looking on the quarter, in slide number 28, you can see the same picture in slightly different sizes. A slight decrease in the top line, about 1.4%. We will see almost the same reasons for the reduction, with nice improvement, 8% improvement in gross margins, keeping the EBIT profit almost at the same level, due to the fact that we decided to launch the single portion coffee machine in Brazil in the last quarter, involving a relatively meaningful investment in marketing. At the same time, we launched a campaign for dairy product in Israel and for the confectionery. This is things that we control. We know what we are doing. And sometimes if it moves from one quarter to another quarter, it influences. And this is the reason we highlighted also the yearly numbers. But though all those activities, we had improved the net profit by 4.4%. I'm moving to slide number 30, which again gives you the split or the analysis of the sales change, and you can see that relatively very similar to the yearly numbers, all the reduction in the FX, excluding FX, came from the green coffee trading, a commodity activity that is influenced heavily by the green coffee prices. And if you take the FX or you include it in the analysis in slide number 31, you can see that the main reason for the reduction in the sales came from the FX. In slide number 32, again, this quarter is a record high fourth quarter for the Strauss Group, improving our margin to 38.5, percent, moving up from 338 million shekels to 798, almost 800 million shekel of quarterly EBIT. Gross margin profit. Again, looking on the different companies, nice improvement in coffee, nice improvement in Strauss Israel, and keeping the level of the dipset spread almost at the same level, though the activities in Mexico and Australia became bigger and more influential on the whole segment. Moving to slide number 35, in line with the what we said before, keeping the EBIT profit and margins almost at the same level, still in a high level if we are looking on historical perspective. Most of the improvement came from the Israeli activity, as I said, improving the mix of products, lots of efficiency measures that we've taken. Gadi talked before on consolidating our manufacturing facility and improving our raw material consumption. On the other hand, in the EBIT, reduction in the Israeli coffee activity, mainly due to closing of a financial position on green coffee hedge, and also some marketing activities that we have made in the fourth quarter. Moving to slide number 38, net profit 4.4% improvement, slight improvement also in the profit per share from 64 to 66 Israeli shekels to per share. With that, we are concluding the review of the P&L. I talked before about the cash flow and the balance sheet. You can see that we start. We have a lot of cash on the balance sheet. We said it in the previous quarters. We are starting to reduce the cash levels. We are feeling much more comfortable about the debt market. Again, nothing to do with Strauss Group. 2 years ago, we decided that we'll put more cash on the balance sheet. Though the market gives us all the confidence it can give, because our debenture are traded at the zero margin above the governmental debt. Still, we are borrowing long-term and we deposit short-term, which means finance expenses on our P&L. By reducing the level of cash, we believe that we will be able to improve the financial expenses in the future, still improving the total net debt to EBITDA ratio. This is one thing. Second, we have done it, though we had to put some more inventory on the balance sheet towards the end of the year due to the same two things that we already talked about. We closed the manufacturing site in Israel, and just to play it on the safe side, we produced a lot of production to the inventory in order to enable us to do the change in a smooth way. And purchasing lots of single portion coffee machines in the Brazilian activity in Três Corações, again as a preparation for the launch that was made towards the end of the fourth quarter. Both those inventories will be used during the first quarter and maybe at the beginning of the second quarter. So this is as far as the balance sheet. And with that, I want to hand over to you, and we'll be more than happy to answer any question that you might have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Liat Glazer of Excellence. Please go ahead.
Hey, first of all, congratulations on the results. A couple of questions. First of all, if you can say a few words about the high growth we saw in the water business. How much is it from Israel, how much from China, and how much from England? And going forward, what are your targets? Should we see a higher growth or pretty much the same?
You want to take them one by one? Okay. So for the water, we've seen a nice growth in the yearly numbers, almost 15% growth, but even more encouraging in the fourth quarter, more than 33% growth. And this is a very, very nice growth in the water sales. We do not provide numbers per country, but you can imagine by yourself that in Israel, which is our main market right now, we haven't generated 33% growth, and by that it comes mainly from the international activities and mainly from China. The UK is relatively much smaller numbers, and even if it grow in high percentages, still it doesn't influence the total growth. So in this was a long answer for a short phenomena. Yes, we had improved very nicely the sales in China. Most of the growth come from China. We are trying not to give forecasts, but this is a trend, and I don't know to say in this quarter or another, but that we expect this trend to be kept, and to and the improvement in sales in China that we will be able to generate the same growth in the future.
I would like, Liat, with your permission, I would like to add that we launched the bubble water, the sparkling water machine, by the middle of Q4. So, of course, the influence of the new product in Q4 and annually results is very low. But in the same time, we're getting great feedback, and we started this year in a very nice sales regarding to the sparkling water machine.
Okay, thank you. Second question regarding Brazil. We saw a dramatic improvement in the operating margin starting from Q4 of last year. Do you believe this profitability is something that we can look for going forward?
Yes, as Shachar mentioned before, it's the fifth quarter that we are keeping the right margins around 10% EBIT margins. So today we are more positive that it's not a one-time improvement, and we strongly believe that as a market leader, we can keep the same margins for the future.
Okay, and last question. We saw a decline in profitability here in Israel in Q4. Do you believe that going forward we should see pretty much the same profitability, or is it one time as a result of high advertising?
Just let's start on the Israeli business. First of all, let's start from the growth, because you know, this is the thing that you know, our consumers and customer dictate. We have improved the gross margins from 39.1 to 40.4. This is a 1.3% improvement. Both in percentages, and as you can see in the total gross margin for Israel went up from 1.135 billion shekels to 1,212,000,000. So first of all, due to our continuous effort to improve the mix and improve our efficiency and investment in the brand, that lead to higher margins. We had managed to increase the total year profit. And by the way, it's true also for the fourth quarter, even in a higher magnitude, going up from 38.6 to 41.2. Again, the efforts that we've made during the year, if you compare Q4 to Q4, reflected even in a stronger manner, 13% growth in Strauss Israel gross profit. As far as the EBIT, it stayed almost flat or 0.3% reduction in the. Sorry, I'm talking about the profitability. But on the other hand, you can see a 2% growth in the EBIT in the quarter. Still, let's even say, you know, these are small numbers, 1 million here and there. Even here, it's, you know, on the positive side, I wouldn't take it as an achievement. But yes, as you said, this is a matter of decision where to and when to expense. And this is the reason, and not because the numbers are better, but I think we better look. It is better to look on the yearly numbers. And here you see in Strauss Israel, more than 6% improvement in the EBIT margins, going up from 10.2% to 10.5%. And I think that the Israeli activity has done a very nice. If, and I don't want to run away from your question, if you're talking about the Strauss, sorry, the coffee activity in Israel, which there, yes, you do see a reduction in the EBIT profit. We try to explain it in the report. When coffee prices goes down, we improve our margins in the coffee trading. On the other hand, the hedge activities are losing. We always hedge ourselves against the coffee prices going up. We had decided this quarter to close most of the position instead of waiting with it, and then you could have, you know, view it in the next quarter and immediately open new positions. So yes, in our non-GAAP report, we take those profit or loss when exercised. And since we had decided to close a long-term position and open a long and another long-term, you saw the losses for the reduction during the coffee prices during the years. You have not seen yet the, let's say, big profit. I don't want to talk even in more explicit manners, but you can assume that we are, if we are covered for long-term coverage that we have done at mid Q4, and now coffee prices went up, we have a lot of profit in this position, but you won't see it until it will be exercised during the next year. So if you're looking for the explanation in the reduction in the fourth quarter profit from 13 to, I think, 4 million shekel in Strauss Coffee in Israel, this is the reason. Nothing, no major change happened in the Israeli coffee market, and this is the only explanation above a little bit more marketing expenses in the fourth quarter in Strauss Israel coffee activity.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Leah.
The next question is from Michael Klahr, Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. I've got a few questions on a few of the different businesses. Firstly, on Sabra, growth in local currency was a bit lower than it had been in 3Q. Is there any reason to think that growth in that business has peaked? And if not, what's driving it higher? You mentioned guacamole in the report. Is that a significant opportunity? And also, I think you've spoken about chilled salsa in the past as well. So just trying to understand what's gonna keep that growth at around 20% going forward.
Ladies and gentlemen, the speaker has disconnected from the conference. Please hold while we reconnect them. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Michael Klahr, would you like to repeat your question?
Yeah. Hi, just starting with the Sabra business, and the growth in local currency was a bit off there, and just wondering whether that 20% trend can be maintained, and if so, what's driving it?
Yeah. Hi, Michael. Again, sorry for the technical problem that we had, and thank you for waiting with us. Sabra, as I said, yes, we do expect, and this is, I think, the only place that you've heard us in the last couple of years even, giving forecasts. Yes, we do expect Sabra to keep continue for sure, sorry, in local currency. Yes, as numbers become, you know, higher, it becomes more difficult to grow at the same pace, but local currency this year, we grew more than 20%, and yes, we expect this activity to grow at the same pace. And the reason for that, as I said before, we still, on one end, I can say, yes, we are already, we already have a 25% household penetration for hummus, but on the other hand, we still have the other 75%. On top of it, the frequency and quantities are still low. Up until recently, we haven't done nationwide advertisement before we had the right ACV. Right now, we have more than 80% ACV. That means that more than in 80% of the stores that are measured by IRI, the U.S. Nielsen, you can find the Sabra's product. And once we reached this coverage, we started to put advertising. You've seen the Super Bowl advertisement, and you can see it in our website. I think hummus became, you know, I'm trying to be careful here, but I think we can say an all-American food. People eat it all over the state. Right now, we will keep invest in marketing, and we'll do it more and more. And you see that the performance of Sabra are very good, and this is the reason we are willing to invest those marketing investments. So we have all the reasons in the world to believe that we will be able to keep the same growth pace.
You mentioned in the press release about guacamole. Is that, how much of that growth is coming from that, and how much is actually hummus itself?
On top of hummus, we have fresh. First of all the product of Sabra are fresh. So we are competing also in the long shelf life product, preserved product. On top of hummus, we have salsa, guacamole, and dairy dips in this order. Salsa is the biggest after hummus, then guacamole, then dairy dips, which is still very small. But still, by far, most of the sales are hummus, and with the pace that of growth that we have, I can tell you that we have, you know, even internal debates if we should push the other things or just keep hammering the success that we have in hummus. The decision is, yes, we are going into the other categories as well. Guacamole is still in low numbers, and even more in, so, hello? Yeah, okay. In low profitability. The higher the volume will be, the higher the margins that we'll get, and we'll improve our supply chain. But on the other hand, our 12-ounce packaging was the most sellable SKU in the States in the guacamole. We keep take market share from Holy Guacamole, which is the leader, and they lost market share from 40 to mid 30% market share in guacamole. And we have, we think, and I think that the consumers are voting, we have the best taste profile. Once we will have more and more SKUs, which means more and more occasions, grab and go, bigger and smaller packaging packages that will enable us to give answers to different usage occasion, we do believe that we will be able to grow in guacamole as well. Right now, still, it's a very small numbers relatively to hummus.
Thank you. And on Abella, where growth is perhaps you know, it's a new product, new markets. Can you update on the you know, whether that's going to plan, what the you know, what the issues with that rollout have been so far?
Yeah. First of all, you can see the numbers. We give the numbers separately in our financial report. You can see that on 50% base, We had moved from 20 million or 19 million last year to 34 million shekels. The Obela activity is doing very well in Australia, in smaller numbers in Mexico. If you're comparing Q4, you have to remember that we acquired a small activity at the beginning in Australia that produced both a branded and non-branded private label product. We terminated this activity totally, the non-branded, and as we published in the financial report, the organic growth, if we exclude this termination, is 17% on a yearly base and 40% on the last quarter. So the Obela activity, again, mainly because of the order of magnitude in Australia, which is much bigger than in Mexico, is growing very, very well. And we just registered our hummus product in Australia in all the chains. And just be aware that in Australia, the two bigger chains control about 80 to 90% of the total food and beverage market. And our success of listing our product in those two and in the third chain shows you the trust that the retailers give to us, and their estimation that we can help them grow the category or develop the category, which is underdeveloped in Australia. And both we and the retailers see a great future for this category if we do the right things in Australia.
Okay, thank you. And then just you discussed water, and just, you know, water in China in particular, and just trying to understand what's changed there. What's happened in the last two quarters that leads you to believe that you're, you know, now properly getting traction? Is it you've reached critical number in terms of points of sale? Is there something else that's happened there? You know, what's happening at the moment?
So Michael, as part of as your questions, there is the answer. First of all, we improved dramatically the quality of the machines. We launched another two different machines, less expensive, and step by step we are penetrating to more cities, and with the efforts of our partners, we are learning the market, and step by step, as we said, we are penetrating to the Chinese market, and we believe that it's only the beginning. So it's all the elements together, but all in all, you know, it's because of gaining some experience and knowing the market and the consumers, but it's only the early stage.
How much advertising are you doing in China, and through what medium? What media at the moment?
Mainly, it's below the line. It's local activities in the stores, and mainly in higher stores, and also via the digital channel. We have a very nice and innovative campaigns via the digital world.
Okay, thanks. And then just on coffee, just trying to understand what's going on. You know, obviously you had reasonable growth if you take out green beans and currency in Brazil. Are you still taking share in Brazil? And you know, what you're seeing from master blenders, you know, per acquisition there.
First of all, yes, we keep taking market share, and you can follow us in the quarterly presentation that we post on our website. You can see, you know, each quarter what we have in as far as market share. But in a short answer, yes, we keep taking market share. And we tend to do that. And though we increased the margins, we didn't see a reduction in the market share. That means that our brands are strong enough to carry this margin improvement. As far as master blenders, they were always good competitors. And we haven't seen a major change in their behavior after the acquisition. We don't speak about our competitors. They should speak about themselves. But I do believe that the transparency that they got about the business before the acquisition, it was almost 2 years ago, I think now, when they went public and they saw the differences with the numbers that they have. This is my personal belief. I think it gave more rationale to the competition. We are happy to take any competition in the market, and we know how to deal with it. And Dow Edberg, look, they are longer than us in coffee as a whole. They are a bigger company than us. And I think they deserve all the respect from our point of view.
Yes, and Michael, I would like to add that if we will see the top five players all together, they are less than 50% of the market. So it means that still 50% of the market belongs to, let's say, dozens of other competitors or coffee players. So the consolidation journey is still ahead of us.
Okay. And just lastly on the currency, we're now at the end of the first quarter. Can you give us some like rough indication of what we should expect for PLL impact in 2014 in the first quarter?
First of all, the nice thing about the fact that we are almost at the end of the quarter is that we will release soon. I suggest that we'll wait. The shekel stayed, let's say, steady against the currencies in the last quarter, and I'm putting aside the hryvnia and the ruble. So if you compare it to 2013, I think you can see that we handle it quite well. The changes, again, despite all everything, if you look on the profit, growth, EBIT, everything in the yearly basis, you can see that we had a huge improvement this year. And we will deal with the changes as well. Again, translation is translation. We will not influence it, but the outcome you've seen. You've seen during the year. I don't think in the last quarter something dramatic has been changed, except of the ruble and the hryvnia. But there, it's too soon to estimate. There is no influence on the consumption, and we just increased prices there. So as long as the economy in those two countries will stay the same, probably it won't have a big influence on us. On the other hand, probably you know better than me what to expect in this region.
Thanks. And just lastly, on the issue with TPG, can you when can we expect that to be resolved? Is that going to be this year, or is it something that can drag on for longer? Can you give us some sort of update beyond what we see in the press?
Michael, I thought it will never we'll never reach to it. Yes. I'm joking.
Okay, I would like Michael to refer to the situation. So we are continuing the journey with the negotiation with TPG for and trying to support their exit. We are negotiating the IPO plan. There are still some gaps, but personally, I believe that we are going to conclude it. And in the same time, we started already running the IPO process. With the underwriters and with the leadership of the coffee management team. So if everything will continue as we believe, so hopefully by the end of the year, we will see some conclusion regarding their exit. But we need to remember that nothing in the meantime is concluded, and we are 24/7 working with our partners to give them the opportunity to exit in the right terms.
Just to keep on clarity on because we are a public company, we will have, you know, hopefully, by the way, first of all, it's a forecast and we do not control it and we cannot assure anything. And saying a conclusion on the direction, we don't take any commitment or forecast that any deal, if at all, will happen or not happen till the end of the year, just for the sake of disclaimer, okay?
Okay, great. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from David Kaplan of Barclays Capital. Please go ahead.
David?
Yeah, hi, I'm there. Sorry, most of the questions have been asked already, but can you talk a little bit more about the Sabra business, specifically in the U.S.? I know you guys talked about some of your product innovation there, moving into guacamole. How are the plans going with the expansion of the facility in the United States? Is everything on track there? Is that also gonna be an investment that's gonna be accelerated now that you've been reducing your debt to some extent?
Hi, David. So going back to Sabra, yes, fortunately, we have, as we like to say it in Hebrew, good problems regarding capacity. So with Pepsi, our partners, we took a decision 1 year ago that we are going to double the capacity of the plant. We are going to invest approximately $80 million. Of course, this is the 100% of the investment. And by the end of this year, we're actually going to double our capacity in the Virginia plant. So we plan to continue the momentum, the double-digit growth, of course, and mainly with the hummus product. And as Shachar said before, we have the same motivation in the other three segments, the guacamole, the salsa, and the dairy dips that over there, in the meantime, they are still a small part of the total business, but they're growing in a very nice manner.
And David, if you ask about the balance sheet, first of all, big chunk of the investment has been done already, so it is included in the balance sheet for 2013. On top of it, Sabra will finance the whole investment by itself, including paying dividends to its shareholders without taking, or I should say, almost without taking any leverage or capital injection to the company. Maybe at the peak, but you know, if on the yearly basis in 2014, Sabra will not need any injection of external resources, whether it will be debt or equity. And at the same time, it does pay dividends. So if you ask me if we can finance, yes, Sabra by itself is financing the whole investment.
Okay, quickly on investments in China. I mean, it's nice to see there's some traction of the water machines in China. And you had talked about some innovation or some changes to the machines there, but has there also been an increase in the amount of money spent on marketing there, or has that been a steady state?
Steady state, and let's say even a little bit less. Most of the investment went to the new products. So we are continuing with the marketing expenses and plans, but nothing different.
We didn't have to pay again for listing things that we have done previous year, you know, listing fees and so on. So it's a tricky question. Yes, less in sales and marketing, but I think more in working money or working marketing rather than just listing fees. And where quantities are going up and the investment is at the same level, we are reducing our yearly what we call investment, but on the financial looks like an expenses or losses. So the losses are reduced in China while quantities are going up.
Okay, and then a last question, and this is really more of a Strauss Group question. There seem to be a lot of opportunities for synergies between the different businesses. For instance, you've got one machine in China, you've got a different machine in Israel with the bubbles, and you're talking about in coffee in Brazil starting to sell soft single-serve coffee there. Are you also planning on introducing a machine into Brazil? Is that potentially something that would come from the water business, or would there be a joint venture between those? It seems like there are a lot of opportunities here for synergies between the different technologies and the different innovations that Strauss has going on that potentially could lead to faster growth at better margin. And so are you thinking that way at all strategically?
So, David, I think that the main reason that we are one group and looking in the same time separately for each one of the companies and the separated the geographies, of course, in the same time, we are looking all the time to capture the synergies, the ideas in machines, technology, innovation, procedures, processes in all kinds, including HR processes. So on and all, we strongly believe that with our five different companies in the portfolio, we have many, many ways to continue the journey together. And absolutely, as you mentioned, we have many opportunities regarding synergies and ideas how to operate together. And we are going to elaborate them in the future.
And just to refer you for something that you probably know, but the world is going there. If you see Green Mountain took out the Green Mountain coffee roasters from their name, at the same time that Coke invested, I think, 14% of Green Mountain. And you can, you know, we all can assume why, and they also announced their sparkling water capsules. The world is going there. We have big advantage of being able to take care also the quality of the water, which all those companies cannot, and the taste of the drinks that they will fix is highly dependent on the water quality, and none of them provide a solution for that. But yes, in the longer term, we always said we see the our machines where they, will it be the coffee or the water, it doesn't matter. It will, at the end of the day, it will be the Strauss machines as the liquid center at your house, at your home. And it starts from water with additive like calcium and things like this and other vitamins. It goes to cold, hot, sparkling water or water with taste, which can be from soft drink to hot drinks to soup and so on and so forth. And don't forget that at the end of the day, we're not only a machine company, but also a food company. All the additives, the taste, and so on, this is something that we can easily produce or get into the category. So we have all the components we need, and we are going to leverage those abilities. But yes, it takes time. If you ask me if it will be next quarter, no, it won't have. It won't be. But slowly but surely, we will leverage our assets.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you, David.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. The next question is a follow-up question from Michael Klahr of Citibank. Please go ahead. Michael Klahr?
Hi, sorry. Yeah, two follow-up questions. I just wanted to check. One, that you said that you're hedged more than a year for on the coffee side. Is that correct? So we shouldn't expect any impact from the higher coffee prices in 2014. That was my first question. And the second question is about Eastern Europe and Russia. What needs to happen to fix those markets in terms of, you know, the declining prices?
So if it sounds like I said more than a year, my apologies. I said we are covered long into 2014, but we are not covered longer than a year, but very, very close to a year if you count it from the beginning of 2014. But not more than a year. About the Eastern European markets, first of all, I don't think that we can treat it as a, you know, one market. Each of them has its own merits. If you look on Poland and Romania, I think we are in a good shape there. We just bought the Amigo brand of instant coffee in Romania, which will enable us to get some synergies in this business and improve the profitability. We have a very stable market share and so on. Serbia, not in a good shape, but I think it's steady. About Russia, yes, we had the first three quarter where we were hurt by the actually let's say, I don't want to say pissing competition, but for sure intensive competition between Kraft and Nestle, which I think now the market has stabilized a little bit. And if you look on the fourth quarter of Russia, and by the way, you can see it because you have, you know, the international coffee activity, you have the Brazilian numbers separately, so you can get the just the Eastern European numbers. You can see that the fourth quarter in Russia, but you have also the sales number, was very, very good, very good fourth quarter. So part of the challenges we already overcome in the fourth quarter, and if the market will back into sustainability as it was in the fourth quarter, I think we're pretty much in a good shape. Now, this is not to say anything about the new situation in Russia, and here it depends, you know, if you know what the world will do about the situation, what will be the influence on the Russian economy. After all, we are in a food business, not in oil and not in other businesses, so I think that the influence on us will be very minimal. But again, on the other hand, we are dependent on the Russian economy.
Okay, thanks. And just sorry, one more follow-up. You're talking about currencies and economies. Are you seeing more opportunities in Brazil now, given the devaluation there? Should we expect a pickup of M&A there in 2014? Are you seeing more sellers?
We are in an acquisition mode all the time in Brazil. As Gadi said before, our real aspiration is not about the market share of Dow Edberg. Dow Edberg, if they will stay close to us, it's fine. Still, the market in Brazil is, we have a little bit more than 20%. They have a little bit less than 20%, and Melita have about 7%. This is, let's say, roughly 50% of the market. The big opportunity in Brazil is the other 50%, which is still very, very fragmented, very small regional players. We have done a few small acquisitions. Some of them we announced, some of them were small and we didn't even announce. But we are in a acquisition mode all the time. Nothing to do with the currency. Don't forget that this is a joint venture with Brazilian family. We are judging the business in Brazilian real terms. Yes, for us, it might, it could have been easier, but the Brazilian activity is, you know, generates all the cash that it needs. All the acquisition is being made from cash generated within the country. So if you ask me about the influence of the currency, no, it won't influence. But on the other hand, if you ask me if we will acquire, whenever we can.
Okay, thanks so much.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available in 2 hours. In Israel, please call 03-925-5937. Internationally, call 972-3925-5937. A replay of this call will also be available on the company's website at www.strauss-group.com. Mr. Lessen, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yeah, thank you, and thank you, Shachar. The group's performance in 2013 reflects strong operating results across the board, and particularly in our overseas operations. We will continue to invest in improving our supply chain, in innovation, and in our brand in all activity segments to further strengthen the group's resilience and leadership wherever we play. And thank you again, all of you, for joining us today.
Thank you. This concludes Strauss Group fourth quarter and full year 2013 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.